Blog Talk Radio.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be...
Hold it now!
America with Kenneth Jones. Tonight we have a guest by the name of Dominique Huff, who will be entrepreneurship in the Black community. We have looking at our stats from according to the U.S. Census Bureau 2014, 1.7% of Blacks are self-employed or own their own business. The Huffington Post said there is the untapped economic potential and power in America Black business owners. But however, there are three different factors that prevent us from tapping into this potential. The first factor is the wealth gap. The second factor is the credit gap. And the third factor is the trust gap. Now, I'm a product of that, the trust gap. You know, I'm trying to be an entrepreneur myself. I've been in dealing with other self-employed, Black self-employed, or Black entrepreneurs. Yes, there might be some issues. But let's bring Mr. Huff on and see what he has to say. Good evening, Mr. Huff.
Good evening. How you doing?
All right. Finally, we speak. Do you agree with the article that says that 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 there's an untapped economic potential in African Americans self-employed or entrepreneurship?
Well, the potential is tapped. We're tapping into it already. Because
okay.
if you look at it, according to 2012, there was a according to 2012 data that was released 2 years ago, that's 2 years ago this month, on the census.gov website, you can talk right now because there's a Timmy going around me. It noticed that we had a spike of entrepreneurship, particularly among black women from 1997 to 2012, where they increased their entrepreneurship by over 600%. Now, people say that's the power of our sisters, but they forgot this part. Out of all the black-owned businesses, guess how much money is generated by black men? Two-thirds of that revenue that's generated by black-owned businesses comes from black men. So we're out here doing it with entrepreneurship, but we have to be a little bit more focused and more organized. We have to get beyond crying online about why people don't support my business, and we have to start leveling up and really getting out here and playing the ball. If you notice, other races know how to market to black
Especially the Asians.
They're
leading, they're leading everyone. In the report that I read, the Asian community is just really having their economics, their economic financial wealth really soaring.
Oh, yeah, because if you look at a lot of these businesses in black communities, they are Asian-owned. Like the Asians are selling you chicken wings, soul food, and collard greens. I mean, they're fixing doing tire shops and auto shops. They're owning the discount balls. So they know how to position themselves to capture our dollars because black folks are a large consumer. But as I was telling people, we don't have an income problem. We have a spending problem, and we have to learn how to harness that power back into our communities. And it goes more than just saying support black-owned business. These black-owned businesses have to turn back around and pour money back into the black community. And Dr. Paul Anderson has laid out the blueprint, the five pillars, for years. And I haven't yet to see anybody to out top what he has done. People have fought what he's done because it requires work, effort, intention, focus, and strategy. But Dr. Claude Anderson, the five pillars, that video is on YouTube. You can Google Dr. Claude Anderson, five pillars, five steps to black economics, and he will show you what needs to be done. And those five steps, he says, first, we got to start doing, black folks have to start doing business with each other. Practice group economics. Keep that money among yourself. Catch your spending to where you can pump more money back into growing your empires and doing cooperation. Then from there,
Let me ask you something right there.
Yeah.
Doing business with each other. I see that as a major issue among us, even with myself, where I try to do business with others, trying to get people to do radio infomercials at a very low cost compared to the white podcasters, and trying to get other small black business owners to interact with me has been a very huge hurdle, very huge. So how can, I guess that's the trust gap, how can we start turning towards each other, or in my case, trying to, I know you have to have it, I have the product, but how can we get to trust each other? How can we do business with each other without having that wall between each other?
It goes back to a video that Johnson from Johnson Publishing Company made back in the 50s, which is very relevant today. It was called How to Market and Sell to the Negro. And when you look at that video, people saw that it was offensive. John Johnson was his name, Bob Johnson, John Johnson of the Ebony Magazine Empire.
Mm-hmm.
He was basically showing white companies how to do business with black folks. In other words, to convince him, because he had the captive audience to advertise in his magazine. So as he presented that, that's the same way that mindset. And granted, that was back in the 50s, and now we're always in the 2020s. We have to ask ourselves, what do we bring to the table? What do our people want? A lot of times we go to our family and friends, and your family and friends, it's not your cell phone. You know, we should not go to our family and friends and expect them by default to do business with us. They may not be in your demographic. So the first thing with any black business owner, I think the owners right now, we have to refine our demographic. Now, our people may fit in that demographic, but we should not focus on selling it to our people. Then, after we refine our demographic, we have to know, okay, what type of branding and marketing effort is going to appreciate that demographic. If you're going after the high-end people, they want to see things that look high-end, raggedy stuff. They have a special way. They don't want, you know, just because it's cheap don't mean people want to buy it. It's cheap. Some people, cheap for a high-end person means it's low quality. So there's some people that are losing the price. So we have to understand those fundamentals of business and be able to how to position ourselves out there. Second thing we have to do is learn how to come up with a strategy to capture those dollars. You look at the ages. I'm sitting here in the food court right now in the mall that's around the corner from my house. Those are things like the little $5 plates, $6 plates, and these people keep a line in front of them. Now, it's crap I wouldn't eat, but there are people who are eating. And then here we come next door to think, oh, I'm black, so I'm going to buy a place for $9. Ain't nobody over there, except one or two people. Then, y'all do this with them Asian folks, but y'all won't do this with me. But you don't understand the market. If people in this mall are paying $6 for those plates, then why aren't you selling your place for $5?
Right.
You got to get off this whole high horse of what I'm worth and buy price and I'm this and I'm that. I have a college degree and I did this and I did that. The consumer don't give a damn. These people over here at Chick-fil-A, they're not asking the owner of that restaurant, where did you go to school at, and who did you study and what church you go to. See something they want. They're over there buying the items. They're sitting down, they're eating the items, and they're drinking the beverages. That's how we have to think. We have to start thinking like business owners.
Well, let me tell you a story. There was a study done back in the late 80s by a radio personality by the name of Bob. His last name skips me. But anyway, he did a study in Red Hook, Brooklyn, which at that time was 98% black and brown. He established a store in the community that seems to be owned by a white person. And then another store that seems to be owned by a black person. Now, in the white store, it was dirty, higher prices, and the people was mean to the customers. Now, in the store that appears to be owned by a black person, the store was clean, the price was lower, and they were very respectful to the customers. And still, that store that appeared to be owned by whites was still getting the majority of the business. So one day he was standing out there looking at his, you know, observing his experiment, and it was snowing that day. And there was a senior citizen woman walking down the block, and he stopped and he said, "Ma'am, you know, that black store is closer to you. Why are you breaking your neck trying to go to that store, the store that's owned by white folks?" And she said, "I don't want to do business with those." And she said the N-word. Now, is that mentality still going on today?
Yes, unfortunately. And I look at that as old school black folks. Because black folks, especially our old school Negroes, they're caught up on the whole the white man's ice is colder. When you look at that, they say, "Oh, I'm doing something." Just like you remember there was a scene on the Jeffersons where not Jefferson, all the family. It was Lionel gets married, and George was finding out that Jenny's parents were interracial, and George and Archie were at the bar. And George, you know, the guy, the white bartender called George, "Sir, you know, are you enjoying yourself, sir? Do you need any more drinks, sir?" And George said, "See, you see that, Archie? See that bunker? See, he called me sir. See, to him, because of my grade, he don't see my black. Because I'm the one cutting his check for the night."
Right.
And when you look at that, even though that was a scene back in the early 70s, and then your story back in the early 80s, a lot of people felt they had something to prove to white people, that I can afford it, I can be on your level, that, you know, that I look like, you know, you got to respect me because I'm coming into your business spending money. You know, and some people had such that psyche of, look at all these white folks licking my ass because they know they want me to spend my money.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I look at it with certain types of black folks. And then, you know, there's a lot of crab in the barrel mentality in that case. There's a lot of jealousy, and there's an inferiority complex because some of the stereotypes that's carried among black businesses. So where black folks are always out of stuff, black folks don't open on time, black folks close early, black folks don't have enough staff, black folks don't answer the phone, black folks do substandard work. And you go to any black groups and people just keep waiting for each other on glass. But the funny part, there's an old joke for those who eat at McDonald's about the ice cream machine always being bad. And somebody made a meme one time that said, imagine if we gave black-owned business the amount of time chances that we give that those ice cream machine.
Right.
That's the fact that machine is always there, always broken, but I never see nobody get on life. See, that's why I don't go to McDonald's. That's why I go to Black Burger and all that type of stuff. You don't do all that. Walmart had you waiting in line for hours. You don't hear nobody.
And we'll still stand there. We'll still be standing there until that cashier come back and what have you. But if that was a black owned place, oh wow, the surveys would be negative. And they see, they're trying to spend money with each other. Look at them. I think it's a whole psychological low self-esteem working here collectively. And also, like I said earlier, it's that trust factor and the crabs at the barrel, what the young kids call hating, play hating. So,
yeah.
How can we get out of that mindset? I mean, it got to be some type of way where we, as a collective community, have to get. I mean, we slowly, surely doing it, but how can we really get out of that mindset, that psychological chain of slavery here, mental slavery?
Well, it's easy, as far as the government says, it's easier. I'm about to mess this quote up. It's easier to deal with children than it is with broken men, or, you know, nowadays broken people.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to be the change that we want to see. And I think the problem that we have, particularly those among the advocates of black owned business or black business leaders, is we sometimes do things that's too hard and too abnormal. To where, you know, we have this whole thing of, you know, buy black. You know, we do these buy black initiatives, but they really don't have
all black. Yeah, all that. Yeah.
And so we have to. And I tell people, think about your spending. Think about your options. So let's say for example, most black folks eat out a lot. So
mm-hmm.
you can convert some of that money that you eat out into black owned restaurants. You have to change that mindset. Then you look at, okay, who sits in your car? Use a lot of brothers there in car repair business. A lot of brothers mm-hmm. own barbershops. A lot of sisters own hair salons. Then you have to look at who sits in your computer. There's a lot of people, a lot of black people in tech who can fit your computer. So certain things that we have to start just making a practice of, can somebody black do this? Just like the Jewish people did. As Paul Anderson said one day, you know, you see all these Chinese businesses in black neighborhoods, but how many black businesses do you see in Chinatown?
None. None.
So, how many times have you seen a Chinese person, like all these distributors or suppliers, how many times have you seen how many times have you seen a nigga roll in some stuff from his company, not from a company he worked for? None.
Right. So,
that goes without saying that we have that, you know, if other groups do it, but we have a problem doing it. And it's because we are so segregated in the black community. You know, every time we say support black-owned business, here comes the social justice warriors with the whole, what about black women-owned businesses? What about business owned by black gay people? What about business owned by black trans people? What about businesses owned by black disabled people? What about business owned by people who are half black, who are in the place? Look here, when we say black-owned business, that means everybody.
Yeah.
See, that's some of that black feminist rhetoric from the past that still seeps into black conversations, because I study black feminist theory, so boy, they all call me. I get the fact that y'all felt that y'all was pushed aside and dismissed because y'all wouldn't lead this in the 30s. Then when the crap hits the fan, and you say, well, where are the men at? Why are the men on the front line? So you can't have it both ways. You can't say you want to be on the front line fighting, and then when it hits the fan, where are the men? And that's another topic for another show. So you don't hear when people say women own business. I don't hear the, well, what about black women? What about Chinese women? What about trans women? When we say support gay-owned business, I don't hear the, what about black gays? What about Jewish gays? What about Christian gays? You notice how you never hear that when we say those other groups? It's always when it comes to black. We always want to start dividing it up in there. It's okay to have your own little corners of the room, but when it's time to come together, everybody's getting attention.
And also, Dominique, you also to expand on that. You know, we at this point of time in our economic atmosphere, you know, we can't afford to afford to do that. Maybe the Jewish community could afford to do that, but we, as in our situation, what's going on with us in our communities, we can't afford to do that. We can't afford to separate among ourselves. You know, we really have to come together as a collective and do this. I mean, we could do it regionally and what have you. We have to start really looking at us as a collective society, no matter what our religion. Hey, you know, I asked this one guy. He's a conservative. He's a black Republican, and he's going to speak in tour, what have you, very close to D.C. And I said, I had him on the show about a month ago, and I asked him, you know, would he do business? Would he serve or address different issues with black Muslims or black Buddhists or black, or no matter what? But he's more from the religious perspective. And he said, yes. And it took him a while to say yes. And sometimes we just deal with our own groups. We had to drop that grouping. We had to drop it and really start, no matter if you're a Muslim, a Christian, or a Hebrew, or whatever you are, or a Republican, or a Democrat, or progressive, whatever your political or religious background, we had to throw that out the door and look at us, what we come in the door with, or come to the table with, and that's ourselves and our untapped skills that could benefit us as a collective.
I was gonna say, when you look at the collective, the first thing for the collective to be fit, we're gonna have to address the internal gender war in the black community. That's the first thing. Because there's a big disconnect between black men and black women. It can work.
Yes.
And I mean, you're dealing with a group of women who think marriage is oppressive. You're dealing with a group of men who think, you know, it's not their job to lead. So you got all this. So we're dealing with now the byproduct, the end result of broken homes. And until we get these homes back together, starting with the new generation, these problems are going to get worse. The quickest ways to build wealth is, number one, get married. Number two, buy a home. Now you're putting two incomes together. Now you have a piece of property. But our people don't get that.
Property value is very important. Yeah, but I didn't realize it until maybe the past couple of years how buying property is very important to your existence, because that's why we have a big issue with gentrification throughout this country. They took over D.C. They took over Harlem. Harlem is not black anymore. Pieces of Philadelphia, not black, but that was black for 150 years. You know, and if we're not careful, Atlanta will be lost too.
Well, I was already going to be honest, because given the last election, you're starting to see what's happening is a lot of people.
That's where
are
I get
dumb,
my
black
leadership from. That's where I get it from. If that woman would have won, it would have. If Amazon come in here, you know, forget it. After 2/3 of 50,000 jobs would be white folks.
It's a white company. That's another issue that we have. We're expecting the same people who we say that oppress us, that depress us, that hate us, to give us jobs, to feed us, to educate us, to clothe us. And I get the fact that some people will say, well, you know, we're the black Amazons, and we're the black warehouses. I get those systematic things. But it comes to the point, even if you have to work for a non-black owned company, which majority of black people do, we have to start investing our money and saving our money. Now, I don't mean a little savings account that your grandma and your great-grandmother had that worked for their time, because they didn't have access to stocks and bonds and all of that. They didn't have that knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
But now we do. I tell people, you should at least have a stock in everything, in every mainstream product that you use. If you drink Coca-Cola, then you own a Coca-Cola stock. Like I do the Nike Sandals Challenge for all my brothers. I always ask these black guys when I see them with their Nike sandals in the warm months. Hey, bro, you I must say, you got your sandals on, right? You own some Nike stock, right? I do. But I put that into their head. If you don't wear Nike products, then you that own some stock in Nike. Instead of buying a pair of Jordans, buy you a share of stock. If you shop at Walmart, buy you a share of Walmart stock.
Yeah, I need to do a show on that, the importance of buying stocks. You know, how, you know, I really is not that aware of that avenue of the financial institution. But that is true, that we really need to get into investments. And how about investing in ourselves and our skills that we have? That has to be a major.
And it can't be just college. See, black folks got the game all twisted. I'm not against college education. I took college. I didn't finish. But every black person should be just dumped to a nearby college. We need to learn marketable job skills, marketable business skills, so that we can compete in the global marketplace. No children, but those who are listening and have children or who intend on having children in the near future, and they don't need tomorrow or next year, but sometime in the near future, this is a global economy. We don't go to retail stores no more. We go to the internet to buy things. Instead of going to the mall to buy those Nike sandals, you would go online and buy those Nike sandals. So I have somebody on eBay that got their own little store that's selling. You don't need any brick and mortar. You don't need these certain things. Now, because of technology, the game has changed. So, like, when I go to these foreign-owned businesses, I try to spend at least possible day, you know, you treat us like, you know, if I don't see no black people working nowhere, I ain't going to do business with your business. So if I don't see black people behind the counter or in the kitchen, you ain't getting my money. I can't stop you from doing certain things, but I can stop you from getting my money. So at least you're hiring somebody. And it has to be, even if you got a brother to the floor, I feel bad for producing, help keep that brother job. And just get out of him. Hey, the floors look great. I mean, who's doing your floor? So no way, you didn't keep that man around there. So you got to change your mindset. So and even then, you have to ask yourself, okay, now that I got this money, talk to stock investors. I got a stock investor on my Facebook. I'm going to do a live YouTube with this guy, with my Black Man's Magazine, teaching brothers how to invest with as little as $50 per pay period. take the $50, wow, instead of tricking off that $50, let's put $50 pay period for the rest of the year. So you pay once a week, once a month, $50, that's all I'm asking. And let's start building up our portfolio. And I got a guy who's going to show us how to do that. You know, thanks to the health insurance policy, you know, you got to have health insurance. And most of these health insurances, you get free checkups. So there's no excuse why we're not getting checkups. That's another way of investing in yourself. Like I tell people, I tell my clients, like I tell my students when I teach classes, that as a business owner, your hair should be on point at all times. Now, whether you put the bundles, lace fronts, you want to do the bowl, all head or whatever, you should never walk around here. Now, I get to be in between a haircut or whatever. I'm not saying you got to keep the haircut every day. But you should be walking around here weeks while going out of haircut, especially when we've got barber colleges and get a $5 haircut. Because you have to look presentable, not respectable, but presentable like you're ready to do business. When you're supposed to be business owners, you have to walk with your back up high. I tell these guys, hey, you ain't got no problem trying to holler at that honey over there. And you hear at the ball, at the grocery store, on the bus. Oh, you get stabbed up then, right? That's the same way you have to approach these business when you're trying to do business or potential customers. Act like you approach that cute woman and have that same confidence, that same swagger when you're doing certain things. That's why we have to change that mindset, which goes back to the beginning of it, to where this stuff has to be automatic. When I do a project, I try to bring as many black business owners as I can. When I have an event, I try to do as many black business owners, as many black students that I can do with that, just to show, just to put action behind my work. Even with this phone I'm talking to you on, I went to a black-owned Metro PCS store. I understand folks who say, well, black folks don't own a phone company. Well, black folks own some of the stores. Find a store they own and go to the store and buy it from them. Let's stop thinking this crap hard, because it really isn't. Because we're so caught up in pie in the sky instead of doing what's realistic and practical. Even when you buy an appliance, when I go to, if I'm buying a car or a flight, when I had my mom buy her car 2 years ago, I made sure we brought it from the black person.
Right.
You know, like this white guy said, first day I was a man was walking, I said, can we get that first black person I saw? I pointed that black person, the Jamaican guy. I said, can we get him? Because that way, that's doing business with each other.
Right.
I'm not against our colleagues or our counterparts. Sometimes that's not always happening. But we should at least be intentional in our actions. Because same thing, like if women can be intentional with doing business with each other, if gay folks can be intentional with each other, why is it that black folks get in these feelings when we say we're not supposed to be intentional with us? The problem that I have, and that's the uncomfortable conversation that we need to have.
And we really have to start having these conversation, in-depth conversations, and we really have to, one of my coaches used to say, we really got to hit this hammer home, because if we don't, some of the issues in our communities will just worsen, because the government deal with our issues a different way that we will deal with our issues, but because we don't have the wealth behind us, on the finance behind us to address some of our ills in our community, and we have to rely on the government to do this, that's where we run into problems.
I would say that too.
If I was a person, let's say if I was a guy that's working the 9 to 5, or whatever the hours may be, and I really want to start my business, and I've been working for this company for 10, 15 years. How can I put myself in position? What I need to do for step one, step two, step three, to start thinking about starting my own business or becoming an entrepreneur or making that transition from working for someone else to working for myself or self-employment?
Because even if you can't work for yourself, because I get the fact that the first thing people love saying, everybody can't be an entrepreneur. Well, everybody can't be a wage earner either. So even if you have to work with somebody, you still need to get you a career and get you something that you're passionate about. You know, you should be sitting up there with this big, the world's biggest frown, the cash register. You know, you act like, you know, that somebody just came and just insulted you and did not ask you how you doing. So we have to start looking at, okay, how can I better position myself and making sure that I do have a job skill that's in demand to where I'm not putting myself in poverty. And we have to stop doing what's popular. So that's not doing what's popular. We have to stop doing what's putting something into something because it's popular or because everybody's doing it and start being pioneers and innovators.
Right.
There's a guy in one of my black business groups that he sells insurance, but he does a lot of drop shipping. I think that'd be the correct term what he does. So he goes to these little flea markets and open air markets, and he sells these dolls. He got a whole storage unit of dolls that he sells like $20 at these events. And he mentioned that he makes an extra $15,000 just off those dolls that he buys from China.
Wow. Yeah.
He said, "I don't really care about them dogs, but that's how they make my play money, selling them damn dogs." And around Christmas, you know, especially though, I really make the money because I show people my little catalogs and hey, I know all y'all got kids and you know I got the black doll, I got this, you know, especially those that don't want to go to the ball. You know, now we're in the era that people don't want to go to the balls now. You bring the ball to them.
Okay.
So, you know, sometimes we have to stop thinking about what we like to do and look at how can we make money in that and how can we thrive in it.
Okay.
And then also look at our talents and our gifts. See, if you want to open a restaurant, restaurants are a very competitive business, and it has a high fail rate. Because just because you can throw down for your family don't mean you can do that on a large scale and sell your food in a restaurant. But if you do that, you got to look at why should people come eat at your restaurant? What are the market trends saying? Okay, people are getting away from high fat, high salt food. So why are you doing a high fat, high salt food at your restaurant? If people won't get off your food, what are you doing to beat that demand? See, we have to set the intelligence in the marketplace. It's like a shoe shop. Well, I told my students in one of my classes, I'm like, you don't see, like, right now I pass the shoe store in this mall, they got the sandals in the window. They're just going to get warm in a few weeks. You don't see them got the big winter boots in the window, do you? They know what's coming. And the fall, what do you see? Boots. They got some in flip-flops in November. They may still have them for sale, but you got to kind of go in there and find them. They may have them kind of buried inside the store, but they know they go off the seat. You got to capitalize off what's happening. You know, a lot of times we want to march to our own beat, but you got to march to the beat of the marketplace.
Okay. Let me ask you something, Dominique. You keep on saying in your classes, what, you provide workshops? What classes are you teaching?
I teach business classes through the In-Town Business Coalition. You know, most of my classes are free because I do it as a community service to kind of you know, put things out there with your common sense. Because I don't believe in that business 101 stuff because business 101 keeps us doing basic stuff. Like, if I see one more class about how to build a Facebook fan page, it's 2018. Somebody can just watch a YouTube video and do that in 5 minutes. So when I teach those classes, I may teach them at coffee shops, I may teach them at the library, and I look at something where people need to get it. And I make the classes, I tell people, I'm already doing it for free. All I'm asking to do is invest your time.
Right.
If you're not willing to invest your time in growing your business, then in my opinion, you don't have time. You shouldn't be in business.
Hey, what's the name of the business? In-Town what?
It's the In-Town Business Creators. And my nonprofit arm is called the In-Town Business Coalition. Most people remember me as the South Fulton Business Coalition from 2012 up to 2016. We changed our name because I want to take the show on the road.
Right. Right,
and I
hear that.
Holding on the road.
Yeah, yeah. So where do you say? Where's your next workshop?
My next workshop, we're getting ready to do some stuff for small business, National Small Business Week. So I do quarterly business summits, which are free of charge. Which I, you know, we look for a space, that, look for a community-oriented space that sponsors us. And I look through my database of people who are experts to come teach a class. You know, that's a chance they can market themselves. But this is not. I tell people this is not an infomercial. In this class, you know, in your class is an hour and 15 minutes. You spend 15 minutes selling yourself, and you spend an hour teaching. Because we all been to those classes where people spend more time selling themselves and 5 minutes teaching.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So
what is your next class? So, in the next week or two, where will you be having these? Where will you have these workshops? And what days and times?
I don't have any schedule in the up to late April, early May, but in the next 2 weeks, we have our monthly second Monday business networking event. And that's actually not an event. It's our networking meeting where we get small business owners in the Southwest Atlanta Tri-Cities area to come and learn about each other's business and start doing business with each other. Because all too often, we don't have these type of events on our side of town that are consistent. People may do these little big events in the evening here and now, here and so often. But I want people to have that relationship of business owners who live in the same neighborhood with them, so you can begin to start doing business with each other. Because you know people, they know people. Guess what? Now y'all networks are going to grow.
Okay.
Because when
you
I started my business 11 years ago.
So the second Monday of March, where will you be?
We'll be at the Cupcakery in downtown East Point, 2781 Main Street, East Point, Georgia. We're right across the street from the East Point MARTA station. And Cupcakery is a black-owned business.
I think I know where that is. Yeah, I know where that is. At what time on the second Monday?
9:30 in the morning. Free of charge.
9:30 a.m. At the Cupcake Eatery, across the street from East Point Train Station, MARTA Station.
Yeah, right across the street from East Point MARTA Station. You ride the train to East Point, get off the station, you'll see the place outside.
You know what, Dominique?
Yeah.
That's interesting. And most definitely, I'm going to put that on my calendar. I might join you that day and come participate in the workshop, you know?
Yeah.
So,
and what we do on second Mondays is, you know, I know in April it's gonna be a good one because I have Wood Forest Bank. It's a new bank that's coming to Atlanta, and Wood Forest has a lot of loan opportunities, a lot of credit opportunities. So we're gonna start partnering with them because we're trying to get full banking again. Well, a lot of these new apps that your customers require you to have, you gotta have a bank account. See, for the longest, people's bank account was their PayPal. Cash app doesn't connect to PayPal. You got to have a bank account, and what's the main thing everybody asks is cash. You got cash app. So you have to be able to capture client dollars. If you can't capture their dollars, clients are going to go somewhere else. I always tell people, if a client, and ideally, I got to reestablish my business account without a full disclosure and let it go when things got slow. But that'll be happening by the next 30 days. I was so-called, like, you know, using all these apps and everything, but I got to start separating stuff again so I can go back to the next level. So I can really go and see my original level I was at. But if a client, I tell you, if a company was to pay your company, many of y'all can cash a check. Because a lot of companies are going to, if they write you a check, you can say, oh, I don't pay the check. Coca-Cola Walmart ain't going to pay your PayPal, I'm sorry. They'll cut you a check, but you may have to wait 30 to 60 days to get that check in the mail.
Wow.
So.
Hey. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great. Running out of time. And I really enjoyed this conversation. I really need for you to come back on in the next month or two. Hey, I'm going to support you by coming out there into one of your workshops, because I really need to increase my entrepreneurial skills. And this conversation has been very, very wonderful, and I need to hear some of this information, just like others.
Oh, yeah. And we do it, and I tell people I do these things in black neighborhoods, of all neighborhoods, because I could easily took this to North Fulton, North DeKalb. I told me even once I move across town, this doesn't look because I got city fever right now. I want to stay in a condo, so even though I may live further in town, I'm gonna still keep my investments in the South Side because I want to grow the community. Because tying to something we said earlier, we have to get past these unrealistic standards that we place on black business owners. We can't, you know, people say, well, you know, I ain't helping nobody try to get a suburban lifestyle. But the Asian guy you did business with, he don't live in your neighborhood. His kids don't go to school with you. The white people you do business with, the white people that you pay that rent check to don't live in your neighborhood.
That's right.
But you put all this, but yet you still get them your money. So the other issue that we have that we have to look at, how can we start working better together? And that's a whole conversation in itself. But it's gonna take people even just a little bit of time that we can move the needle. Like for example, you have your radio show.
Right.
You know, maybe you can work with other podcasters, and maybe you guys can do a joint show with a big name person.
Right.
With all these black conservatives doing the internet radio, and people say, well, my audience is too small for me to get Sarah Palin or Herman Cain. But guess what? I got before the guys that, hey, double guys, let's do an interview with Herman Cain. And these podcasters in Atlanta, Herman Cain's in Atlanta, and that's kind of wrestling to do with that. Maybe we could do an event, you know, they just do a cash mob event and have Herman Cain. Guess what? We all have leveled up. All four of us are here together. We got Herman Cain. We bought this event, and then we also bought it at our show. And now we're out there in the community. There's the people who we want to listen to our show.
Wow. Yeah.
It's easier for me to find $25 than for me to find $100.
That's true. All right, hey, Dominique, I'm going to be in touch with you. Thank you for coming on the show. I appreciate it. And I'm going to be seeing you, okay? And I'm going to stay in contact with you, most definitely.
Oh, most definitely. We'll be in touch. It was my honor to be on the show. And thank you, everybody, for listening. And we'll talk soon.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Very interesting. A lot of information, and I hope that people that listen to this show, I hope the people that go download this show, really listen to this information, because this is needed among our people, and he got my support, and I agree with him. So, again, another week, as always, as I end the show. I am as we are as I am. So, y'all have a good night and be well.
Hold it now!